Welcome to A Biblical Perspective with Pastor Joe Fletcher of Infinity Bible Church, a program that applies biblical truths to our present culture and church events. Now, here's Pastor Joe.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Welcome to Biblical Perspective. I am Pastor Joe Fletcher from Infinity Bible Church in the Bronx. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you for letting us in your car, in your bedroom, in your living room. We are just so honored to be with you. And you know, if you pay attention to the show, that I rarely fly solo. I like guests. I'm not that interesting without other people. So I've got my friend, again, Larry Hendricks was with us about, I think, two shows ago, maybe. Yeah, two shows.
Yeah, I think so.
And the problem is we were talking about everything.
Right.
We had a nice talk about worship, and then we jumped into the race issue, and we didn't have, all we had time for was to just stir it up and store up a nest and then just walk out. You don't do that.
Exactly. Let's spill it over today.
Exactly. So we're taking a big risk here, and we're going to spend the entire half hour today talking about race, specifically in the church, but we're probably go a little bit outside the church as well.
Yeah.
And for those of you listening who can't tell, and I remember last time I asked a question if I'm even allowed to ask if you can tell if someone sounds white, sounds black. I never want to offend someone if some people, oh, what do you mean I sound black? How can you? I never know what reaction I'm going to get. So I always dial it back if I don't know you. But Larry, I know we've been friends for 20 plus years. And the only time race is an issue is really was when we talk about something that's going on in the church or when we're doing a radio program. Otherwise, it's not that big a thing. But it's a good topic today. So, Larry, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. Good to be here. Glad to be here to talk about this one and finish up.
Now it's interesting. Let me ask you this. Are you entirely comfortable having this conversation on the air with probably thousands of people listening to you? Any inhibitions?
A little bit, because, you know, people hear what they hear and they take away from it what they want. So I'm not so sure that everybody understands and puts it all in perspective. You know, it's a little scary to talk about this stuff and be honest and true about it, but not come across, you know, in the wrong way.
Yeah,
but so a little cautious, yeah, I guess I would say.
Me too. And the problem with when you're on the air, you can't take it back. It's just, it's there.
It's done.
And it's recorded, and it is forever, you know. It's not like the Word of God, but it's forever, at least almost forever. And I had the same thing regarding, and I got a bunch of questions I'm going to ask you. Some of them I'll answer myself as well. I'm very sensitive to how I come across to other people. Now, you may not think I'm sensitive, but at least let's put it, I try to be sensitive. Maybe I'm not as sensitive as I think I am, but I try. And I've learned in 35 years of ministry, ministering in a largely African-American church, that man, I can offend people. And, man, explain what I said. And then someone will explain what I said, and then I'll say, oh, that you thought that? And they're like, well, yeah.
Right.
And like, wow. So, I mean, I'm still learning and growing. I'll remember, I'm not going to name who, I won't name either person. We're going back 30 years in our church, and we had a visitor, I'll just say he was a relative, and was talking to, and you know, you're going to know who I'm talking about, an African-American person who helped me get the church started. First, he and his wife, first couple in our church.
Okay.
And this relative of mine mentioned something about colored people.
Wow.
And he was trying to be polite.
Uh-huh.
Because his life exposure to African Americans was very limited. And that was the nice term that you use. If you go back to the 60s, even if you listen to like speeches and stuff, some of the African American leaders were saying colored. That was what they used. And somehow by 1983, 84, you weren't allowed to do that anymore. So I'm never sure if I'm caught up.
That probably went out in the 70s. Late 60s, early 70s, that was gone.
Well, if you knew my relative, you would understand. that would make total sense. Let me ask you, true or false? American church would be more open to having a white pastor. I'm sorry, African American church would be more open to having a white pastor than a white church would be open to having an African-American pastor.
In my experience, I'd have to say absolutely 100% correct. True.
Okay. So you think that, African-American people would be more open to, of course, you're attending, you're sort of living that. Maybe I'm living proof of that, right? Sitting here at the table, you're a pastor, a white guy. So if you think African Americans could tolerate, not a good word, but let's just use the word that would be happy to have, not all, but some would be happy to have a white pastor, while as maybe a white church wouldn't necessarily want a black pastor. Why do you think that is?
I think it all goes back to culture and upbringing and how you're taught as you're growing up. So if you look at the history of our country with regards to race, going back, let's just say, I don't know, what our country's been around since, the 1400s, right? And you go from, am I correct on that?
Well, it depends on Columbus.
Right. So this hemisphere has been operating as it has or whatever since the 1400s. During that time, say from the 1400s up until, I don't know, questionably even now, many white people are still taught that blacks are inferior or have this idea that blacks are inferior or that there's something wrong or something just not right with either their intelligence or what have you. Black people aren't taught that. Black people are taught to maybe be weary of what someone white is saying or what they're doing or to be careful and such, but they're never taught this inferiority thing.
Gotcha.
So I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, and I would say, I would challenge you maybe on, obviously, I'm sure there's some percent of people, of white people, that are taught that blacks are inferior these days. But I couldn't give you the percentage. I don't know if it's enough. I think there's more to it than that in terms of that, or maybe it is just a residual something from last generation. I don't know.
Well, yeah, sure. There's direct teaching that this is what it is, and then there are the inferences and such. There's the way folks see someone treated, and they kind of get the impression that, that's because they don't matter.
Okay, now let me explain something about how white people think, because I'm an expert on how white people think, being a white guy.
I know that.
We don't even see the inferences half the time that you see. I'll give you an example. I was talking, this guy was talking to you earlier
yes.
to help me start church.
Yes.
Was talking to his lovely wife.
Yes.
And she was telling me a true story that happened to her that I'm not going to name her. She would kill me if I named her, so I won't do that. She works at a educational place where pretty much the students are all white.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was coming in to work, and someone saw her coming, but they didn't see who it was. And they got on the loudspeaker, and they said, "Who is that? Who's coming? Why are they here? Who is that?" As if almost like danger, Will Robinson, danger,
mm-hmm.
African-American coming.
Right.
And she was greatly offended by that, and whoever was on the loudspeaker heard about it. And see, my reaction might be, her reaction, I think, was, okay, there's obviously some racism in what she said. She sees a black person coming, and automatically she thinks danger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just ignorant or innocent or both. I may think, you know what, if it's an all-white school, and they see somebody that obviously they didn't recognize her, they wouldn't have said, who is that coming? They didn't know who was coming. And it's someone that obviously didn't attend the school. If it's an all-white school, I'm thinking maybe they're just afraid of, not because she's black, but because she's not white and the school is all white, there's an outsider, these days with a gun or whatever, and there was some fear there. And I didn't necessarily automatically think racism as much as she did. She automatically thought pretty much only racism, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Although, maybe I'm putting words in her mouth, but I don't think so, not after the discussion I had. And I said, maybe it was just, she says, she says, Joe, I think you're giving her too much credit. And I'm like, well, maybe, but maybe you're not giving her enough credit. How can I get into this woman's heart and know what she was thinking? So we never see that. What you see, we don't see that.
I guess, but also at the same time, what ticked her off immediately that this might be a problem? The color of the woman's skin. Immediately. If it was because, there's someone coming who's a stranger, it was someone black. And immediately that meant, okay, something's not right here. So you're saying that maybe if it had been a white woman, she would have let her get closer and into the building.
Oh, she would have figured she belonged there. But if when she sees
that's my point.
But if it's an all-white school, of course white people belong there because it's an all-white school.
But maybe she had business there. Well, maybe there was a reason to come.
You're talking like Florence. Florence says there's plenty of nannies that come in and pick up their kids.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I don't necessarily always see a racial component to that, and she always does.
But you know why that is? That's called white privilege. I can't help but think that there may be a racial component there because the racism has been inflicted on me, whereas it hasn't been inflicted on you. So you don't have that built into you, that reaction, that expectation. I have an expectation that there's going to be some racism coming in. And white privilege does not mean racist. It means a privilege that you have where you don't have to expect or have the expectation of experiencing this badness, whatever you want to call
it. And what we're really talking about is worldview, and our worldview is always shaped by our experiences. And when a Christian comes to Christ, God willing, it's shaped in additionally by experiences from the Bible. And as their experiences with, so whatever my worldview was before I came to Christ, even if I've had all these experiences, whatever, it doesn't matter. If I come to Christ and something's wrong, hey, I've got to judge. I'll never forget, lady, I was in a Bible study many, many years ago, and a lady, we've been praying for her to come to Christ, and she happened to be very left politically. And you know me in church. I don't care what people's politics are already.
Right.
Like at all. And she says, I think I'm ready. I'm finally ready to come to Christ. I'm like, well, let's pray and let's get this done. She goes, however, she said, I'm not willing to come to Christ if it means that I have to agree with the Bible on what the Bible says about women.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's probably talking about women submitting to their husbands, and she's very much of a feminist, and she saw that the Bible was like, you know, putting the woman as you know, I teach in church, not as an unequal, but as the husband is the leader in the home, for instance.
Right.
And she couldn't handle it. She won't handle it. And she goes, but I want to get saved, but I'm not going to accept that part. And I'm like, look, you know what? We can deal with all that stuff later. But are you willing to just ask the Lord to save you? And should he show you that your view right now is wrong, would you be willing to change? And she said, no.
Mm.
I didn't expect that answer. And I said, you know what? Then I don't think you can come to Christ. And until you're willing to surrender your own personal biases, whatever they are, to the authority of God's word, you know, you're not making him Lord. You can't be saved if you're not willing to come to him. Now, that's a whole nother radio program, I think. But you are absolutely right on that. You know, people, their worldview is shaped by their experiences. When the Bible comes along, it better change some of that, I think, because no one's batting 1,000 when it comes to that.
That's right.
If you're not comfortable answering the next question, go ahead and not answer it.
I mean, okay.
Go ahead and answer it.
Like
go ahead and not answer it. What's the worst experience of racism that you can remember that you've personally had?
In the Bronx, up in the Throgs Neck area, somewhere up that way.
Wait a minute, you're in my neighborhood now.
Well, hey, I think I may have been actually on Buer Avenue.
Okay.
And I was picking up my little sister from her dance class there. So I was standing outside my car, double parked, and a group of guys rode by, slowed down, looked at me, and they shouted, go back to your own neighborhood N-word.
Ooh.
And then drove away. So furious, I'm about to jump in my car, and then I'm like, well, okay, that's not the smartest thing to do. But it just dawned on me, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Yeah, this is that America that I've been hearing so much about, and I never experienced it firsthand until then.
Mm.
And that's the kind of thing that starts to shape your experiences and interactions with people of the for me, with white people. As from that point on, whenever there's a negative experience, it's like, okay, so was that just because it just went negative, or was there something else?
Right, and it's interesting, getting back to the topic we were on before when we talked about white pastors, black pastors. As a white pastor, I never had the barrier of people thinking I was inferior.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I never had to earn that. What I did have to earn was trust, though.
Mm-hmm.
People don't necessarily I will never forget this dear lady. She's with the Lord now. Her name was Linda Clark, with the Lord now. Dear friend, really good friend of my wife's. And you know where I'm going with this. This is one of my favorite stories. We're there in prayer meeting, and she just finally decided, you know, she was coming to church, and she was growing. She'd given her life to the Lord, I think, at our church. And we're there praying, and she's praying this just sweet prayer of someone that really didn't know the Lord. And then she begins praying me, and she says, "Lord, we pray for Pastor White." And there was this pause, then everyone was just, and then we just all started laughing.
Because
I realized it taught me a great lesson that she will always see me as white. Now, I think, you know, time went by and she saw me as more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But the race thing is a, you know, it's deep. I'll never forget. I'm not going to say who it was, but you'll probably figure out who I'm talking about. I was at a funeral of one of your relatives many years ago.
Okay.
And the funeral was in Harlem, and it was in a black church. And my wife and I walked in, and we were, as far as I could tell, the only white people in that place.
Right.
You know, and I didn't know the deceased. I had met her a few times. I didn't know her, but we came out of respect because, you know, we love your family, Hendricks family, you know. If the Hendricks family is not in Infinity Bible Church, then I'm telling you, there's nobody there. It's like that. Our roots run deep. Your dad's one of my dearest friends, and so on. And I'm telling you, I got some stare. I felt like, for the first time, I sort of felt like, okay, so this is what it's like being a minority. I don't like this at all. Now, most everyone there was gracious and just kind, and you know, would, but not everybody. I mean, you know, there were some that weren't, and it was like. It's kind of difficult. Let me ask you this. How important is it to you to attend a church that's multicultural? Do you care?
No, I don't care.
Okay, that's interesting.
I just want to be in a church where everybody loves the Lord, and that what we're talking about here right now is not a factor.
Right.
And that's where we are. It's mostly an African American church here, but if it changed, as long as our musical styles could hang in where they are.
Right. Well, that might be a challenge, though, right?
That might be a challenge. That's right.
But since you're the worship leader, they don't have a lot of choice, do they?
They got to go with me.
The problem is, as you know, when white people come to a black church, you know this from experiencing me, we don't know how to sway properly.
That's okay.
And when the music is playing and we're swaying, people can get hurt.
That's okay. We'll hug you and put you in the right spot. It's okay.
You're swaying left. I'm swaying right. And
people get knocked out.
Collision. That's right. It's just not good at all. There's a couple of verses I wanted to share. I think, you know, the scripture talks about this a little. But the scripture doesn't really talk about race so much.
Right.
And you have to sort of glean it in one of my favorite verses. One of the first ones I memorized when I began memorizing verses seriously as an adult in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 says, "For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all given one spirit to drink." And back, you know, we talk about black and white and stuff. Back in the, when the early church was founded 2,000 years ago, the issue wasn't black and white. The issue was Jews and Gentiles.
Right.
And man, and you've heard me teach this at church, man, the Jews, you couldn't even walk into a Gentile house. If you were Jewish and you went into the marketplace and you touched a Gentile, you had to wash when you came back with this whole big ceremonial thing. As a matter of fact, even if you didn't touch a Gentile, you'd still come back and wash just in case you might have touched a Gentile and didn't know about it. I mean, it would the race, and of course the Gentiles resented that.
Right.
They resented their religiosity. They were different, and both the hatred between them was severe. And just because they got saved doesn't mean that they didn't have any issues.
Right.
You know, in the church after that. I mean, that just continued. You know, and, you know, Paul deals with it somewhat in Titus. Some more verses that I memorized out in the New International Version, he said, if I can quote him, I didn't write it down, "Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, so that they can be fully trusted. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men."
Right.
I might have put that verse out of context, but that's the point is, verse 11 clearly teaches that Okay, yeah, in this life, there's slaves and there's free people. There's privileged people, white privileged people, and people that aren't privileged. But in the kingdom of God, when it comes to, and specifically there, he was talking about really a church context, there is no difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, one day in heaven, you know, I don't know who my neighbors are going to be. One thing I know, heaven's going to be loud. I was talking about this last night in our studies in Revelation. Man, you read chapter 4, chapter 5 of Revelation where they're worthy as the Lamb and there's millions of people, you know, praising God, and it's just loud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you ever meet these old sour ladies that, well, I like the church, but, you know, music's too loud. You ever meet people like
that?
Sure. You've probably heard it in our own church from
Absolutely.
Time to time, right?
Yeah.
I can think of one deceased really good friend of mine that always turned the volume down, Freddie, with the Lord now. And, man, I'm thinking, man, if they don't like music loud, they're not going to like heaven very much, are they?
I'm sure he's doing all right, though.
So I've done all the talking, man. Anything you want to throw by me?
Well, you know, you brought up, you dipped into slavery just a little bit when you talked about, when you mentioned the verse that you mentioned. And I just want to say, I think that one of the, a difficulty that I have when I'm talking to some of my friends with regards to Christianity, getting saved, who Jesus is the difficulty of them saying, yeah, that's Larry, you're hooked into that white religion. And that comes from two things. One being the idea that Jesus was white, and the images you see of Jesus are 100% white most of the time anyway. So I guess it's not 100% of it's most of the time, but largely that's the image that you see of Jesus. It's a white Jesus. And then you have what you talked about with slavery, where the word says what it says about slavery, but then you had slaves in this country where the slave owner is beating you with one hand and quoting that scripture with the other hand,
right.
And it's just not reconciling.
Right.
And people look back on the history of slavery and realize that the Bible was improperly used to justify it and the entire trade. And that keeps people, those are two major barriers that I think keep a lot of some of my friends and probably a lot of black people, keep them away from Christianity, have them really weary about it, have them or leery about it, and just simply distrusting because they view it through that lens. And even trying to strip that away, when you can strip it away and say, well, that wasn't who Jesus was and that was wrong, there's still that lingering, yeah, but something's got to be wrong about it if that's what came out of it,
right.
You know?
And I'll answer that in the brief time we have left. The slavery was never like endorsed in the New Testament as something that is good and something we should do. Jesus wasn't political. He didn't set out to abolish slavery, really to change Roman law or anything like that. All Paul was doing was like, look, you're a slave, then represent Christ well as a slave. And then another part of Scripture says, look, if you can get rid of your, if you can free yourself, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if these same guys would read the book of Philemon, where Paul is really addressing a slave master, then the slave was Onesimus. If you read Philemon carefully, Paul is clearly saying, dude, I mean, Paul didn't say dude. But he's saying, free him. He's valuable and free the slave. So, you know, to the masters, he's saying one thing. To the slaves, he's saying something else. And to answer the other part of your question, Jesus is not white. He was not white. He was Semitic. He was Jewish. And again, you and I know this, but and all the European photos we see of them, just not, you know, not right. Just got to go back to Middle Ages. And Larry, thanks for coming and having this comfortable conversation. I hope it was comfortable at home if you were listening to it. I hope you come visit our church, Infinity Bible Church. You may not want to meet me, but you want to meet Larry. You want to hear his song, our choir, and by the way, his group. Tell us the name of your group.
Highly Favored.
They are playing us out tonight. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
King of glory, miracle story, your reign never, ever ends.
If you'd like more information on A Biblical Perspective with Pastor Joe Fletcher of Infinity Bible Church, visit InfinityBibleChurch.com or call 646-251-8497. Tune in again next Sunday evening at 5:30 for A Biblical Perspective with Pastor Joe Fletcher.